Just turn to your neighbor and say, so good to see you in church. Tell your neighbor, just look to the right, look to the left. If there's no one to the right and the left, look back, look forward and say, it's so good to see you. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's stay standing, guys. Yeah. Grab your Bibles and stay standing. Amen. Let me welcome those who are with us for the first time. Thank you for being at Faith Church. Amen. Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2. Somebody tell your neighbor, fix your eyes. Tell him it is time to fix your eyes. All right. What's wrong with my eyes, you may ask? Listen. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, so it continues. This is a continuation of chapter 11. Where all the fathers, not all, most of the fathers of the faith are listed. The generals of the Bible, lots of them are listed in chapter 11. So after Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews, there's a little thing out there. Some people are not sure, but it looks like Paul. Right? After, Emily was telling me Apollos wrote this book the other day. So there's a little thing going on, right? But after he lists all the fathers of the faith, he's saying there's enough example for us to follow. So he's saying now, therefore, we, tell somebody, that includes me. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? Lay aside. Tell somebody, you got to put it off. Lay it aside. Let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. You know, when athletes train, sometimes they train with weights on their foot. But it comes a time when they get into the race, they lay aside the weights. Because what? The weight was good for training. The weight was good for conditioning. But when it is time to run, you got to lay aside every weight that will hold you back. Tell somebody, I'm going to lay aside some people. Sometimes people are big weights in your life. I'm going to lay aside some of my habits. You know your habits can hold you back. I'm going to lay aside some weaknesses. By the end of today, I'm going to lay aside something. Come on, make a declaration. I'm going to lay aside something or the other. Lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight. And it's a process to lay aside. You don't get over everything the first day. Step by step, because we're being formed and we're becoming more like Christ. So consistently, or in different periods of your life, you're going to have different weights. And you're going to have to be able to what? Lay them aside. Let us lay aside every weight. And now look at this. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. Paul is coming out of 11 talking about faith. So could it be the sin he's talking about here is unbelief? Because he's just telling them, by faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith all the names here, Abraham, by faith Adam, by Abel, by faith, all by faith. So could it be it is a faith problem that we have? Because we see with our eyes, but we're not seeing with the eyes of faith. So he said, lay aside the sin. Lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know, sometimes, I'm going to let you sit in a minute. But whoever had this thought that faith is just like a thing out there. Like, when you talk about faith, it's only about the believing aspect. It is not the action happening. It is not the resolution. But the word of God tells us faith is substance. Because when you tell people believe by faith, they're like, how can I believe by faith? But let me help you. You know what faith is? Faith is divine persuasion. That what you cannot do, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and those who are against me, and also greater is he within me than my abilities, that he's going to cause me to then go in, create. He's going to cause me to go in and possess. He, as I take steps, he's walking with me, and he never leaves me, and he opens doors and he closes doors. So faith is you beginning to move with a confidence that what you cannot accomplish, I'm going to just move and God will make a way. I need somebody to say, I'm laying aside unbelief. I'm laying aside faithlessness. And I'm stepping out. And I'm stepping out with God. And I'm going all the way by faith. Don't let it ensnare you. Because fear will tie your hands. Fear will shackle your feet. Fear will sink you into depression. Fear will let you not move. Fear will hold you hostage and imprison you in front of everybody. And put you to shame on top of it. But look what next part says. Let us run. Let us what? Tell somebody it's time to run. Tell them it's time to run. Tell them, watch me. I'm getting ready to run. I'm getting ready to move. I'm getting ready to do some new thing. I'm getting ready to warm up. I'm actually just warming up now. But watch me. I'm getting ready to take off. Like Usain Bolt. Like the pocket rocket. I'm about to launch. Because God, if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm getting ready to run. Any runners in the house? So I got one person, two person, three people that says, I'm getting ready to run because God is my energy. Jesus is the power. I got the Holy Ghost in me and I'm ready to run. I'm going to preach you a little, but then I'll give you substance later. It says, let us run. Why run? Why run? When you are running, you are consistently moving. You're consistently moving. You are going forward. Let us run the race with endurance. He's not just saying sprint. Because we know this race is not for the swift. This battle is not for the strong. This is a race of endurance. Look at somebody and say endure. You're going to have to endure some tough times. You're going to have good times, but you're also going to have to endure in the tough seasons. The seasons where you're saying, God, where are you? He says, endure. The season you're saying, why am I getting persecuted on the right and on the left? He says, endure. Why it seems like Pharaoh is turning up the pressure on me? He says, endure. Endure. We got to be built strong, church. The Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong.
are not only strong to be pretty and sexy and flex your guns. He said you're going to be strong and you shall do something. You shall do exploits. You shall do the uncommon. You shall accomplish what has not been accomplished in your generation. You'll be able to be a trajectory changer. You'll be an elevator because of who is on the inside. Somebody give him praise.
Run the race with endurance. Endurance. If you don't take nothing, take that one. Endure. The Bible says, endure like a soldier. No soldier goes to battle and say, oh my gosh, where's my lunch? I thought this army had gourmet food. Where's the TV? Can we watch some TV? Why don't I have something to put my feet up on? My legs hurt. No! He says, endure like a soldier. Endure with hardship. Endure with hunger. Endure with people talking bad about you, even when you do good. Endure family walking away from you. Close friends abandoning you. The enemy throwing his fiery darts at you. Your loved ones getting sick. Hakamashaya. Affliction hitting your house. When a soldier's out to battle, you don't say, oh my God, I gotta go home. My wife has a headache. He's on the battlefield or the front line and he's here to defend the cause. You got to know that you are an ambassador of Christ and you're here to defend the cause and you're here to pray for your family. You're here to pray for your children. You're here to instruct them. So no matter what comes your way, you're going to stand up. You're going to stand tall. You're going to say, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord and I'm going to fight until I die. In the army of the Lord, come hell or high water, he who began the good work in me is faithful. He is able. I know. Thank you. That's what it is. Run the race. Keep moving. Don't quit. Don't relent. Don't stall because of persecution. Don't stall because the devil is after you, because that is his job. He's like a roaming lion. He's gonna walk. He's gonna try to track it down. Well, let him roam. Because when my God gets ready to roar, when the lion of the tribe of Judah begins to roar, the roamer got to bow, the roamer got to relent, because the roarer is about to roar. Tell somebody I'm going to endure. I'm gonna endure. Oh, Rabba Samanda, Ilabakunda, Ribashama, Rakayama Sika, Rekatora Labosi Mandala Mashaya. Because I got weapons. I got weapons. And you don't see my weapons. Because my weapons are not carnal. My weapons are not normal. My weapons are not visible. My weapons are not common. My weapons are not known, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down. Not some, not certain kinds, but the word of God says every stronghold, they are powerful, they are sharp,
They are adequate. They are charged. They are ready. I got arrows of deliverance. So no matter what the enemy brings, when my God gets ready to shoot, every man shack is going down. Every enemy standing in my way, man set up, God wipes out. God, man sets up, but God wipes. No matter what you're facing this morning, I want to let you know you can run this race. No matter what condition you're in now, you can run the race. You can run the race. In Colossians 2:7 says, be rooted, be grounded, be settled in Christ. Be rooted, be grounded, be built up in Christ. Run the race that is set before us. Here's your key. Does somebody time for the key? Looking on to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The author who started it. Then the Bible says in John chapter 1 that all things were made by him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. All things. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Let me tell you, the devil is not the finisher. The devil is out to try to finish it, but he can't. He doesn't stand a chance. God is the author and God is the finisher. When you pray for your family, pray for them. Jesus is the author and Jesus is the finisher. He started it, and he who began the good work in you is faithful. Our God that we serve, he's not some time-ish. No, he is faithful. He's not frequent. No, he is faithful, consistent, always present. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, he paid the price, he endured. Why do you think you and I have to endure? Because the one who began it endured. And we said to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like you. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, oh, all I ask is to be like you. Now we sing it. What did he do? The Bible says he endured. He endured the cross, every aspect. From the moment he got the kiss. You know, normally a kiss is a good thing. When somebody give you a kiss, oh, yeah, so good to see you. But that was the kiss of death. And the kiss of whooping. The kiss of betrayal. Maybe seated. But he endured. He endured. He did not give up on the way. He did not let up. He didn't say, Father, this is too much. The Bible says, just all for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He did not despise the process of going to the cross. Sometimes we despise our persecution. We despise our forming. We despise when we're on the potter's wheel because it doesn't feel good. When God is cutting, when God is shaping, when God is making us, we're like, this does not feel good. All I want is the lollipop. All I want is the piece of cake with the icing on it. I don't want bear cake. God, who do you think I am? I am royalty. I am blessed and highly favored. Where's my icing? No, the Bible says we got to endure. We have to endure.
as good soldiers. He said, but Jesus, he endured, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But this morning, I want to talk to you about looking unto Jesus. All that we need is locked up in Christ. The Bible says in Peter, it says, all things that pertain to life and godliness has been provided. How was it provided? It is all provided because of Jesus. Because he endured the cross. Because he despised, not despised him. He despised the shame. Because of him, all that we enjoy, all the peace, all the joy, all the hope, all the courage, all the strength, the guidance, everything is because of Jesus. And in order to look upon, and this word looking unto Jesus means to fix your eyes. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In order to fix your eyes on Christ or on objects that bring it to the real world, if I'm telling you, fix your eyes on me, in order for you to fix your eyes on me, you have to look away from everything else. Looking unto Jesus is us having tunnel vision. We ought to have tunnel vision when it comes to Christ, comes to Jesus. Remember when they were walking, when the disciples were walking into the temple, Peter and John, and the man met them at the gate of beautiful? What it says? Him fixing his eyes on him. Peter fixed his eyes. Peter was not looking to the right or to the left, but that man had all of Peter's attention. Fixing his eyes. I want to ask you this morning, is your eyes fixed on Jesus? Or is your eyes on him, but also on other things? You see, sometimes we get saved, or we may have been saved for years. This has nothing to do with a new Christian. It has all to do with your commitment and your decision to follow Jesus. Are you following him with your whole heart? Are you going after him as your prized possession? Are you going after him as your pearl, the most treasured thing in your life? We ought to come to a place where he becomes first and foremost. Our eyes must be fixed on Jesus. He must become our focus in life. We have to look away. Look away from friends. Friends are going to discourage us. And this has nothing to do with being young. I'm telling you, today in the culture we live, even old folks are distracted by friends. In the culture we live, so much distraction presents itself. We have to know, listen, God is first and everything else is second. Sometimes family becomes a distraction. Many of us say we can't come to church because we got kids. You ever heard anyone say that? Oh, these kids, I can't come to church. They're too noisy. They're ruckus. They don't want to sit in church. Or they don't even want to come to church. And then they sway you because what? Your focus is not on God, but your focus is on them. We have to look to Jesus. He has to become priority numero uno in our lives. Number one. Looking unto him. He's the author and he is the finisher of this life that we are living, the faith of what we call Christianity, this so-called religion, which is actually a relationship. This relationship that we have was initiated by Christ. And the process from initiation to the end, it is all Christ, because he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. So if we're saying family is our distraction, I got news for you. There was a man by the name of Moses. Rather, Noah, I'm sorry. There was a man by the name of Noah. Noah had three sons, and he had three daughter-in-laws, and he had a wife. But God called who? Noah. God did not say, oh, Noah, you know, Noah is a busy man. Noah got kids. And plus he took on daughter-in-laws. You know, in-laws can be a little. But he called him. He called his wife. He put a mandate on them. And he says, guess what? Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. I'm going to flood the earth. And I'm going to judge man because what? Violence has come up to me. And it is overbearing for me because this is not what I created my people for. So he said, I'm going to judge the earth. And all you have to do, Noah, is to begin building and preaching. Build and preach. Could you imagine what persecution Noah had to endure? Because at that point, no one saw rain. There was never rain. So here is Noah standing on White Plains Road, and he is preaching, God is going to send rain. And everybody goes, ha, 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 ha. What is rain? And not only he said it, but he's doing something about it. He is building an ark. Now, God did not look for a single man to call. God called a man with responsibilities. He had a wife and he had children. He had a wife to feed and he had children to care for. But yet God called him. But Noah, by faith, what he did, he answered the call of God. I want to tell you, when you walk by faith, God is going to back you up. He promised, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The moment you commit to obey the call of God on your life, you are now walking in lockstep with God, and God will bring you through. So Noah is building and building and building, and everyone else is laughing. You know... I'm sure there are people that laugh at us when we say, we're going to build a mega church in New York. We're going to build a great church. We're going to gather thousands of people that are passionate and that are on fire. And people who know my family line, they probably laugh and they scoff. But I want to tell you something. If God could have moved us out 2 years ago from a place half this, not half, a third of this size. If he started it, he's going to finish it. So what did Noah do? He got the scorn, but he endured it. No one listened to him, but he endured it. Because what? His eyes was not on man. The Bible says, if you fear man, it is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. You know what I mean? A snare is used to kill animals. It's a trap. It's a trap. So if you ever look at the face of man or men and women, you're setting yourself up for death. Because you will never accomplish your purpose. Because John Blue is going to be around the corner. Oh, you know that's impossible. You can't do that. That's too big for you. Uh-huh. Why not settle for, you know, what is common and what is usual? I want to tell you, the God that I serve is the God of exploits. Exploits is not easily understood. It is a miraculous thing. So Noah kept building and building. And the word of God says in Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah being divinely warned. How was he warned? Now, if Noah's eyes was not on God, because the Bible says he found grace, he found favor in the sight of God. He found favor. He was on the good side of God. He was on the good side. Let me see who's on the good side of God this morning. You know who puts you on the good side of God? Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Yeah, so he found favor. And the word says, being divinely warned of things not yet what? Seen. God ever dropped something in your spirit that nobody knows about? God ever deposited a dream or a vision or an impossible thing in you? You know, think about Steve Jobs. He went and he built Apple. Then they kicked him out of Apple. But the thing was on the inside of the man. The thing was on the inside. The iPhone was on the inside of him. The iPad was on the inside of him. Pixar, all these wonderful movies we see, these great animated movies were on the inside of him. So they kicked him out of the company, but they could not kick the vision out of the man. I want to tell you today, whatever God has planted divinely within you, move with it, run with it, endure what you got to endure, but keep moving. Do not relent. Because in 1 Samuel says, our God does not relent. He's not a man that he should relent. The strength of Israel will not relent because he's not a man. So why should you and I, that is full of the strength of Israel, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is within you and I, why should we relent? Keep moving. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. Come on, somebody. It says, look here, he said, of things not seen, move with godly fear. What he did? He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. For the saving of your household. Yeah, we preach to the masses, but my main responsibility is you. So if I got to preach to you and you make it to heaven, it is what God has entrusted to me. You are responsible for your household. Preach in your house. Preach to your children. Your husband not saved? Lovingly preach to him. Your wife not saved? Lovingly preach to them. Keep your eyes on Christ and preach to them every day. Don't worry about who don't want to hear. It is not your responsibility to convert anyone. But keep moving. Endure and keep moving. Where are you going to get the strength to endure? God. Because what? Your eyes is on Jesus. You fix your focus. All of your confidence is on him. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Where is your faith? Your faith is in Christ. He is charging you up. He's giving you the power. He's giving you the zeal. He's giving you the know-how. He's revealing. And if you don't know a thing, he's going to send people your way. We didn't know how to strategize and make money. But what did God do? Not make money, raise money for the house of God to take it forward. But what did God? God saw we had a need. He sent Apostle and Pastor Sharm into our life. And he said, Sam, this is how it is done. I want to tell you. But if we had packed up shop and says we're not doing, God had no business to send anybody. So it doesn't matter how it looks in your life. Endure. Number one, keep your eyes on him. Endure and keep moving. Endure and keep moving. Endure and keep moving. And this is not for anyone with any great anointing. You know who this is for? Common people like you and I. Go over to the book of James, chapter 5. It says, verse 16, the last part. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man, what? Avails how much? Let's go to the next verse. 17. Elijah was a man. What kind of man? A man with like ours. He was a natural, or meaning a common man. He was a natural man. You know, when we think about Elijah, we pray, Lord, raise up the Elijahs. Send Elijah. Oh, God, let Elijah come. Hey! And the Holy Ghost looks at you and said, what's up, Elijah? What's up, Elijah? What's up, Elijah? He's saying, Elijah was a man just like you and me. Elijah is in the house today. Because the spirit that was in him, maybe you do not have the mantle, but the same spirit that was in Elijah is in you and I. Let's continue. Elijah was a man with a nature like you, like ours rather. And what he did? He prayed how? How he prayed. We often quote the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avail much, not knowing James is trying to put our attention to Elijah and saying, if you would pray honestly, you can get the effect of Elijah. You will get the effect of Elijah. You think Elijah only prayed when he went on the mountain? He was practicing prayer every day. He didn't wait until he was at the big showdown with Ahab and Jezebel and all of their 400 prophets was up there. But she had 800 or 950 prophets, prophets of Baals and prophet of Asherah. He didn't wait for that. He was praying all the time. What? Effective and fervent. His attitude was fervent. He was praying hot prayers all the time. And he was praying honestly. Honestly does not mean haphazard. It's consistent. If you're an honest child of God, meaning you are consistent 7 days a week, not only on Sunday and Monday you get a little spiritual hangover. You don't only get hangovers from drinking, you know. You get hangovers from coming to church. Because when you go home, it has an effect. Yeah? It should have an effect on us. It should change our life. So then we're hungover 7 days a week. I get a hangover every day. I'm always hungover. You tell the world, Pastor Sam has hangovers. He's hangovers. Yeah, Elijah was a natural man. But he prayed fervently. And what happened? That it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for how long? For how long? 3 years and 6 months. Common man. But what it was, his focus was on God. His eyes was on the Lord. He fixed his focus. He looked away from everything else. Did he ever get discouraged? Yes. Did he ever get worried? You sure? Yes. Right after he called on fire, the Bible said he got discouraged and he started to run, thinking Jezebel was going to kill him. The same man that slayed 400 prophets on Mount Carmel, because you know the Bible said he took a sword and he chopped off their heads. Can you picture those things? That's what you got to do with the devil in your life. You got to cut off the heads of everything that tries to raise its head in your life. You have authority. You got the sword of the Spirit. The Bible never said it is a mattress of the Spirit. No, it is a sword. It's not something to make the enemy comfy. It is for you to use it against anything that devil tries to put in your life. You use, because when Jesus was being tempted, what did he use? The sword of the Spirit. He used the word of God. And what happened to the enemy? He defeated him. Man shall not live by bread alone. You shall not tempt the Lord, who's God? Your God. He's telling the devil, listen, I'm your God. You don't want to bow, but one day your knee's going to bow. That's right. And he prayed. What happened? The Bible says he prayed and no rain fell in Israel. There was a what? Drought. But then after 3.5 years, what he did? He prayed again. He prayed again. And what happened? Heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. You have the ability to affect your environment with your prayers. You have the ability to pray for communities and see change. The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, what? Avails much. It brings forth much result. Do not pray one time and give up, because the word of God says pray without ceasing. Jesus was a man of prayer. So if our eyes is fixed on him, we're going to pray. Prayer is going to be a part of our life. We have to keep our eyes fixed on God. Back to Noah. Noah built the ark. He endured the fighting around him. He endured the partying, everyone was getting merry and having their good time. What he did, he endured it. He did not get distracted by what was happening around him. You know, sometimes we pray, and guess what? It gets worse. You begin praying for someone, and all of a sudden they go from bad to worse. And you're like, God, what? You're not answering my prayer? Listen, when when you are trying to get someone into the kingdom, what do you think the enemy is doing? He's trying to pull them out. And he's also trying to wipe them out. All of a sudden, people are trying more dangerous things. They used to party one way, they start to party worse. They used to drink, now they're using drugs. Because what? The enemy's goal is to kill them. John 10:10 comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But what must you do? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Lord, you said you are the author, you are the finisher. You promised that you're going to save me and you're going to save my household. So I'm going to stick it out in. Keep praying. Do not relent. Do not give up. Stay consistent. Know what? He kept on building. He kept on building. He kept on preaching. He kept on telling them. And one day, all of a sudden, the answer came. You know, sometimes everyone is saying, when is Jesus coming back? He said he's coming back. And if he says it, we believe it. That settles it. Because in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And if he could have done it once, he's going to do it again. We have to have our confidence. Look away from the world. Look away from the distractions. Look away from the lies of the culture. There is so much confusion today in our world. People don't know if they're male or they're female. Children are confused. But what must you and I do? The Bible said, train up a child in the way that he should what? Go. Keep training them. Keep telling them, because what? The devil and the system of the world will teach them one way, but you have a responsibility. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep taking his strength. Keep taking his empowerment and stand and endure the pressure of the culture. It is not easy as parents today. But what do we do? Do we cave? Do we run away? No, we stand. Stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given you, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. We will not. We will keep our eyes on him, and we will instruct our children. We will teach them the ways of God. Teach them the ways of the kingdom. Teach them the commandments. Teach them the books of the Bible. Teach them a memory verse. Because Psalm 119 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Fill them up. You got to fill them up. You got to fill your children up. Because if you don't fill them, somebody is waiting to pour into them. Fill them with the word of God. Teach them songs that will speak to their heart. Don't just give them an iPhone and give them ear pods to listen to whatever they want to listen to. Take your roles serious, so that way we don't have to say, oh, the school is doing this and friends are doing this. And no! Why? Because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We come to church and we leave our kids at home. We leave our grandkids at home. What happened to grandmas that used to drag grandkids to church? Hello? We got to get back to what worked. And we have to start in the church. We have to start in the church. We know what works. We have life. We have a
abundant life. We have life for us and life for our children. We have strength for us. We got strength for our generations.
So next time you come into church, go, hey boy, come here. You're going to church. I don't want to go to church. You best believe you're going to church. Because we do that for them to go to school. I don't want to go to college. Yes, you are. No, I don't want to go to high school. Yes, you are. I don't feel like going to school today. Yes, you are. You ever tell them something? I don't feel like going to work either, but I got to go. Hello? Hello? Because if not, all of us are going to be feeling like we don't want to sleep outside, but we got to go. The landlord's going to kick us out, or the bank is going to take the house. So you just got to do it. Because even Nike says, just do it. The reason we don't have a passion for our families to get saved is because our eyes are not on Jesus. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we'll become passionate to communicate that truth to them and to go the extra mile. The Apostle Paul went the extra mile to preach the gospel. He was a scholar. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, brought up under Gamaliel, a man of great influence, a doctor of the law. You know, as I was looking at that, I said maybe he was like Aristotle to Alexander the Great. Because Aristotle taught Alexander, he was his personal teacher. And Paul was brought up under Gamaliel. So then Gamaliel transferred what was in him unto Paul. The wisdom, the knowledge, and some of the grace that was upon him went over to Paul. So Paul became a passionate Pharisee that he was now persecuting the church. But when Paul encountered the living Christ, you know, Paul had a great life. He didn't lack anything. He became a man of influence himself. Because when they stoned Peter, what happened? Man, he was just there. He wasn't stoning. He was just holding clothes. Stephen. When they were stoning Stephen, he was just standing there holding clothes. Because he had influence. But the same Paul, when he encountered the living Christ, what he said, I count it all down. All down. I count it all loss for the excellency of Christ. He put it all aside and he said, what I have now encountered is what I've been looking for. He put it all aside. He says, I'm going to follow you. Come what may. I'm going all the way. And he endured hardship. He endured being in prison. He endured getting whooped. He endured shipwreck. He endured being bit by a viper. Because what? His eyes was on Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.